Adam Pfeiffer here once again on Thursday, August the 22nd, 2024. We're back for the numbers presented by FTNFantasy.com. Check out FTNFantasy today for everything you may need to get ready for those fantasy football drafts, which probably have already happened for many of you. This is a huge weekend for most, I would say. I have my most important home league draft. It's a huge day. We have a golf outing the day of the draft earlier that day. Go back to the house, live draft. It's the most fun day of the year, and I'm so excited. And if you have something along those lines, or if it's just a regular online draft, whatever it is, we have you covered at FTNFantasy.com. Jeff Ratcliffe's game plan draft guide that's constantly being updated. The FTN Almanac led by Aaron Schatz and a team of unbelievable analysts. And the revamped Stats Hub, which you can find stats that I use on this program all the time. It's awesome. And in season, it's going to be even more valuable because, okay, start-sit decision is really keeping you up at night, right? Should I play this wide receiver or this wide receiver? Well, you can look and say, okay, this wide receiver, for instance, is playing, I don't know, let's say they're playing the Colts, a team that historically plays a lot of cover three. And they're still playing a lot of cover three. We have that data for you. Can also see which receivers are doing the best in terms of targets, receptions, fantasy points, advanced metrics against cover three defenses. So it's going to be awesome for fantasy draft season right now, but even more valuable, in my opinion, during the season when you're trying to make those tough start-sit decisions as well as DFS, etc. So check it out, FTNFantasy.com. Hopefully use that promo code FTN15 while it was active to get 15% off. Today's episode, we will talk about an interesting topic, and I think it's not too early to break it down, right? Usually in season, we're looking for, you know, maybe like week three, week four. We're looking for players that you can either pick up on waivers or players that have not done much that you drafted, but you still want to stash because a second half breakout is possible. And although week one hasn't started yet, we'll look at some players that I think are candidates to have kind of second half breakout, not seasons, but stints for your fantasy teams. Mostly young players, obviously. A lot of these will be rookies, but some players that I think could break out as really, really strong weekly fantasy players in the second half of the season, particularly. Hopefully it's earlier for a lot of these guys, but kind of expected to be more in the second half. We'll get to that in a second, but of course, have to talk about our friends at Circa, once again sponsoring the podcast here at FTN. The largest pro football contests in Vegas are back with the NFL right about to start. The Circa pro football contests also return. Circa Survivor and Circa Millions are now up to a record $16 million in guaranteed prizes. It's two ways to win and absolutely no rake. You love that. Circa Survivor contestants select one team each week with no point spread, last the longest to win it all with $10 million guaranteed. With Circa Millions, make five picks against the spread each week for your share of $6 million guaranteed through quarterly and full season payouts. I know what you're thinking. Five picks against the spread each week? Nothing. No problem. Not so fast. We know how crazy each week of the NFL season is with upsets and teams staying in games they probably weren't expected to, so not as easy as it sounds. Of course, you can enter in Nevada or play from anywhere. For details, visit circusports.com. Week three, the preseason set to kick off soon. I was kind of waiting for some viable news to really break down, but it's not much. I mean, we're still sitting here waiting for CeeDee Lamb to get extended. Brandon Ayuk's situation to be resolved. Jamar Chase continues to hold in. Like, fantasy drafts are happening. CeeDee Lamb's still going inside the top five. Jamar Chase going inside the top six, top seven. But it would be nice if we had some clarity on this. Because there's definitely been research done about players that hold out and get off to slow starts. These guys are missing practice time. And yeah, at the end of the day, they'll probably be fine. But like, just adds a little bit of like uneasiness, I guess, especially because all these players that we're talking about are going incredibly early in fantasy drafts. It's kind of crazy. You look at the first round of drafts right now. It's like McCaffrey, he'll be fine for week one, but dealing with that calf, has had so much volume on top of that. CeeDee Lamb, hold out. Ja'Marr Chase, hold in. Tyreek Hill had a thumb issue. It's fine, but that's something. Puka was like a borderline first round pick in some drafts. Probably, you know, not for me, but he's obviously been missing practice time. It's interesting. But can we please get CeeDee Lamb signed back into practice? The one that's the most annoying is the situation with Brandon Ayuk, because there's been like four or five times, like I did a whole 10 plus minute segment on the podcast about ideal, like possible landing spots for Ayuk, because it seemed inevitable that he was going to be traded. It went from Steelers are close to acquiring him to 49ers are about to finally come to some sort of agreement with Ayuk. And now it's just like waiting, wait and see, wait and see, wait and see. We're close, but please, just something happened at this point. Please, that's all I ask. Let us move on. All right, let's get to my candidates to have breakout second halves of the 2024 season. And like I mentioned, you'll see a lot of rookies, sophomores, overall young players on this list. The first one, and the more I think about it and the more I watch the Bears, this could be not even second half breakout, because I think I'm starting to think he's going to be the wide receiver two on this team right away. And that's Rome Odunze. The case is pretty easy, right? Awesome player. Literally my favorite player in this draft class at any position. I think he's a star. With Caleb Williams, they've developed quite the rapport. I mean, we saw it in the preseason game against the Bengals, where I think Rome Odunze immediately is going to be the trusted player for Caleb Williams on those out of script, off platform, broken plays. I think that's going to be Rome. And he's dominating the snaps at the first team. Like, it's not like they're playing, you know, he's playing on all packages, personnel. Like, he's going to be on the field a ton. And yeah, like, we see this all the time with talented rookie wide receivers. Maybe it's not, you know, a top 24 fantasy wide receiver this awesome season, the first 5-6 weeks. But once the second half of the season starts, they fully get acclimated, comfortable, what have you, and they just show. And there's a reason why, like, happens all the time where rookie wide receivers, not so much to this extent because we have two rookie wide receivers going inside the top like 3-4 rounds, but we've seen so many times where rookie wide receivers fall and just don't go in the first 5-6 rounds of fantasy drafts because of uncertainty, and maybe they don't land in situations where they can get a 30% target share right out of the gate. But Rome is awesome. Caleb is clearly awesome, and I think that rapport is going to be awesome, if not right away, a couple weeks into the season. So, Rome Odunze, a pretty easy one for me there, but I want to talk about Chase Brown, running back for the Cincinnati Bengals. I've talked a lot about some polarizing backfields that we know there's going to be some serious value for fantasy. We just aren't sure who it's going to be and how much work each player will get. Situations like the Broncos, the Titans, Washington stands out, Dallas, right? Haven't talked about Cincinnati as much as I probably should. And Chase Brown, Zach Moss, they're going to probably split the work to start. And, like, the preseason usage doesn't really tell any sort of story, because the first game of the preseason where Chase Brown dominated all of the work, Zach Moss was sick, didn't play, and then the starting offense didn't really play at all, or actually legitimately didn't play at all, in the second preseason game. So we don't have much to go on other than what we've heard and seen from training camp practices. There's been times where Chase Brown's been the early down slash goal line option, and Moss was the third down pass catching option. And there's been days and times where it's been the complete opposite. But here's why I think Chase Brown ends up having the second half breakout and being the player you want from this backfield. For starters, like, Zach Moss was really good when Jonathan Taylor was out last year with the Colts. But that was really the only time he's been good at the NFL level. And it came where, like, the Colts had nobody to take touches away from him. Like, Taylor was obviously out. Evan Hall was out. Like, they had nobody. And give him credit, Moss did well. But back in Buffalo, like, Devin Singletary was just much better and played way more. And then you have the fact that Moss has, like, dealt with a lot of injuries. Coming into the NFL, had a lot of injuries. In college, was banged up a lot. And then you look at it, 2020, he had a toe issue. Or sorry, 2021. 2022, ankle, hamstring, concussion. And then last year, I think he broke his arm. So he's been hurt a lot. And Chase Brown, obviously we haven't seen a ton of him. Efficiency as a pass catcher has been good in limited fashion. Like last year, he averaged over 14 yards. So it was like 15 yards per reception on screens. He was really good after the catch on those screens. Good vision. He looked good. Obviously, super small sample size. He caught like, had like 10 screen targets. But like, we also have to remember in his final season at Illinois, he handled a huge workload. 328 carries. 1,600 rushing yards, 10 touchdowns, and then 27 catches, which in college is a good bit. So if for whatever reason he's just playing better than Zach Moss, I don't think the Bengals feel like they can't give him the Mixon workload, which was a very, very hefty workload. Now we will see if there's a split in terms of like who's playing the third downs, because Mixon, over the past couple seasons, that's where he's kind of not had a huge role. Samaje Perine stole a lot of third down work from him over those years. Last year, Mixon was a little bit better, but still like well below where you want an elite fantasy running back to be in terms of third down usage. Doesn't have a lot of career receptions on third down, so you would like that to be Chase Brown. But I do think by the midway point of the season, he just might have close to an every down role in a good offense. And I think he's going to see a ton of light boxes because that's just what happens. That's a product of being in this Bengals offense. With Zach Taylor there and the wide receivers, they run three wide sets like 90%+ of the time. As a result, you know, the defense is spread out and you can't stack the box. Last year, Joe Mixon, according to FTN data, saw 7+ defenders on 13.6% of his carries. That was the 13th lowest rate among qualified running backs. That could be Chase Brown in that role, in a good offense. So, I've gone back and forth. And like, yeah, maybe because Zach Moss was so good out of shotgun formations last season with the Colts, and that's primarily what the Bengals run out of shotgun, that I'm sure that's probably what, you know, the organization saw when looking at players to bring in. Probably said, you know what, Zach Moss, good fit for the offense, and he very well could be. I just worry about the health. And the fact that there was really nobody to compete for touches. There was, like, forget Jonathan Taylor type skill set. There wasn't anybody even close to Chase Brown's skill set in that backfield when Taylor was out last season alongside Moss. So I think Chase Brown has every opportunity to have a career season and could really get started during the second half. We'll get to a handful of more second half breakout candidates for the 2024 season. Yes, I know, it's early. The season hasn't even started yet, and we're looking at players that could break out in the second half. But it's important, especially when you want to be patient. Plus, there's been leagues that have been drafted now, and a lot of people are saying, oh man, what should I do with this guy on my bench? Do I have to hold him? Like, some players that I think you should definitely be holding if you're already starting to think about that. So we'll break down some more of those players when we come back on the podcast. We'll see you then. Okay, welcome back. Talked about Chase Brown. Talked about Rome Odunze. Up next is legitimately, not even sarcasm, one of the most talked about players in fantasy football. Dontayvion Wicks. Really, really impressed as a rookie. He won at all three levels. Route running, he was fantastic. Preseason, connects on a long touchdown pass from Jordan Love, so the hype only enhances. It's interesting. Because when Christian Watson was healthy, Dontayvion Wicks was still clearly operating as the fourth wide receiver on this team behind Watson, Reed, and Romeo Doubs. Despite how good he was, despite how amazing the analytics were, all of that. And they were great, right? According to the Stats Hub, EPA per target last season, 0.44, that was 18th among all wide receivers for Dontayvion Wicks. He also, I talked about how his route running, his footwork at all three levels is just awesome. We have an awesome stat on the Stats Hub where it shows you can find all of the data for wide receivers on plays where they had 0 yards of separation all the way to 5+ yards of separation. Dontayvion Wicks caught 39 passes last season. 18 of those receptions came with 3 to 5 or more, so at least 3 yards of separation. That's almost 50% of his catches. And that can be skewed for a lot of players because it could be like pre-snap motion, free releases, could be screen, stuff like that. But then you remember that Dontayvion Wicks wasn't really using that role. That was Jaden Reed. And when you watch his tape, it's like all of these vertical routes, these deep out routes, posts. I think he's the real deal. And after what he did last season, I wonder how long it will take if he continues to produce like this. How long will it take for Green Bay to say, you know what, we have to have this guy in the field? And it's tough because Jaden Reed is the guy he's the guy that Matt LaFleur will scheme all the touches for, and he was good last year as a rookie. Christian Watson, we know when healthy, has the highest upside of anybody in this wide receiver room. Can't really take him off the field. And the drumbeat for Romeo Doubs, especially, from Jordan Love this offseason, has been pretty loud. And he is as consistent as it gets. I've talked about it. He's like the Gabe Davis of this team. Plays 90%+ of snaps. He just doesn't leave the field. And he's a good red zone target. Like in the weeks Watson was healthy, 4 to 11, Romeo Doubs, top 10 in the NFL and end zone target still. Now, do I think what I saw from Dontayvion Wicks and what we could project going into his second season, do I think he's more talented than Romeo Doubs? Yeah, I think so. But trust is huge, and Romeo Doubs has that. I've talked about Doubs being pretty overlooked in general and in fantasy because everyone's talking about the Green Bay wide receiver situation for fantasy. And 95% of the discussion is, should I take Reed early, wait for Watson in the middle, or just wait really late for Dontayvion Wicks? And nobody's talking about Doubs. But at the same time, like if we keep seeing this from Dontayvion Wicks, I just don't know how he's not on the field. So this is the one I feel probably the least confident about, just because it's so crowded. Plus, we didn't even see the tight ends healthy together last season. I think Musgrave is going to be a pretty, pretty key part of this offense too. So, based on the player and the trajectory of him, the quarterback, and the offense, I still think Dontavian Wicks is a potential second half breakout candidate, but I also don't think Romeo Doubs is going anywhere, so it will be tough. Let's stay in the NFC North with Ty Chandler. Chandler was pretty productive last season when he got opportunities. Madison was hurt. Chandler stepped in. He was, you know, a low-end running back too for fantasy. Solid player. And looked like he could be potentially a breakout candidate for the full season. And of course, Aaron Jones, released by Green Bay, Minnesota signs him. But Aaron Jones, despite how much I love him, like, there could actually be some standalone value for Ty Chandler. Like, look at it this way. Jordan Addison's banged up. We know Hockenson's going to miss the start of the season. And they have nothing after Addison and Jefferson at wide receiver. Like, absolutely nothing. Which is why I think whoever's on the field at running back for the Minnesota Vikings is going to catch a good amount of passes. But Aaron Jones, like, he's always been in that okay workload range. Since 2019, he's averaging 16.6 touches per game. That's probably what I would expect for him. 14 to 16 touches per game, which does leave opportunities for Ty Chandler. And also, Aaron Jones approaching that vaunted age 30 season, and last year finally had multiple absences with the hamstring. Really hurt him. And he was great down the stretch when he was finally healthy, so, like, I'm not saying don't draft Aaron Jones. But, A, like, what if he misses time again in the second half and Ty Chandler becomes a must-start running back? But B, like, what if there's actually standalone value here from day one? I don't think that's out of the possibility at all. So Ty Chandler is one of my favorite players to draft in the late rounds, but also, like, especially in, like, zero RB builds where, in those late rounds, I'm just taking flyers on running backs. Ty Chandler is one of my favorite players in that range because I think you have contingent upside with Aaron Jones, but also I think you could actually have some standalone value at the same time. I also have a package here with Greg Dortch / Michael Wilson. Just because, like, I expect Kyler to be even better this season, fully recovered from the ACL. Obviously, like, Marvin Harrison, Trey McBride, they'll be the focal points of the offense. But Arizona, once Kyler returned, they were, like, top 10 in a lot of offensive metrics. EPA per play, success rate, all that stuff. Greg Dortch has been pretty hyped this offseason by the Cardinals. He's doing a lot of good things in practice, winning against man coverage. I think he's legitimately a good player. We've seen a lot of weeks where he's been a really, really strong, like, wide receiver 3. Now, breakout in the second half wouldn't be like Marvin Harrison Jr. would have to be sidelined for him to fully break out into somebody you're starting most weeks. But I think one of these two wide receivers could easily become a weekly viable flex play in 12 team leagues. Michael Wilson, I think, is legit good. It's just he's also been banged up a lot. I think there's an opportunity here, even alongside McBride and Marvin Harrison, for one of these two wide receivers to make some sort of impact. I don't think it's Zay Jones. He's been playing behind these guys, if I'm not mistaken. So I think there's all the possibility in the world. Now, from a talent perspective, I would bet on Michael Wilson. I just don't know. Like, he's I don't know how healthy he's going to be. Came into the NFL with some concerns there. Missed some time last season as a rookie. But I'm definitely intrigued. There's no doubt about it. They both go pretty late in drafts too, so it's like, whatever, it doesn't work. But I think we'll see some sort of signs from one of these two wide receivers within the first few weeks of the season. So I do think we'll know in some capacity. Other players that kind of fit this criteria, a lot of the rookies, right? Blake Corum, Adonai Mitchell, especially with Josh Downs. Josh Downs probably would have made this list. Actually, Josh Downs can still make this list. Because, like, if he misses any time, it'll be to start the season. And he was having a great camp. He was awesome in a lot of metrics against man coverage, etc. This offense is ascending. This offense is the fastest-paced offense in the NFL. So, yeah. Josh Downs, for sure, should be on this list. Jalen Polk, also. There's been a little bit of frustration because he's not getting the snaps and the opportunities with the first-team offense in training camp and preseason that we want. But when you look at this depth chart, it feels like it's only a matter of time before he passes KJ Osborne and, you know, Demario Douglas. It's just Jalen Polk. And he's also had a great camp. So I definitely think he stands out. Marshawn Lloyd, also with Green Bay, if he gets that pass catching role. There has been some talk about AJ Dillon's role kind of being the same, and they still are really high on him. So that's why I kind of a little bit less excited about that. How about Jalen Tolbert in Dallas? Like, what if he becomes a wide receiver two there? I know Brandon Cooks, you still project, but like Brandon Cooks, 30, 31 years old. Tolbert, kind of like in that Michael Gallup, Marvin Jones role of like the possession, deep ball wide receiver. Don't hate the idea of Jalen Tolbert there. And there's also one player, Quentin Johnston. I know it has been pretty. The three wide sets have mostly been Ladd, Palmer, Chark. Chark's missing some practice time right now, so QJ is getting some good reps. I just think he needs to be used differently, though. Like, at TCU, he wasn't this vertical downfield receiver. He was a guy who got the ball into his hands in space, let him make moves. So while he was really, really, really bad last season, especially in the games where he had all the opportunity in the world with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen out, I also think his role wasn't perfect for his skill set. So for me, like, Josh Palmer is comfortably the wide receiver one for the Chargers for me, but like, if he's not going to get, if Quentin Johnson's not going to get it done in this offense with the lack of talent around him, it just won't happen for him. And I think 90% of the fantasy community just assumes and expects it to not happen for him, which very possible, but this is a situation for it to happen. No doubt about it. But yeah, most of the rookies you can make, obviously outside of like the top tier rookies, Trey Benson also, like, just because James Conner, how many games will he actually be able to play? So you'll see this a lot from the rookies, and there's going to be so many rookies that have these second half breakouts, whether it's at running back, wide receiver, tight end, maybe Benson it, you know, first couple weeks, tight end, rookie season, tough to get started right out of the gate. He has a great veteran in Zach Ertz to help him, but with how explosive this offense is going to be, Washington, what, at some point, will just need to have more upside and explosive play potential at that position. And that's clearly Benson and over Ertz. So, yeah, by like week six, week seven, if Benson it was, you know, just kind of did what McBride did last season and just took over the playing time over Zach Ertz, wouldn't surprise me at all. And you just love the upside of that entire offense, what we're seeing from them so far in the preseason. But I think that'll just about do it for me today. Again, not too early to talk about breakouts, obviously, but especially second half of the season breakouts with a lot of these young players finding more opportunities, getting more comfortable in the offenses they play in, and capitalizing and thus becoming really, really, really reliable fantasy players in our lineups. We'll be back for one final episode this week on Friday. My buddy Chris Meany, love talking with Meany. He'll join me on the program to end the week. And you got fantasy drafts this weekend, so we have to help you out. Subscribe, rate, review, check out all of the podcasts, part of the FTN Media, the Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe, the Dynasty Podcast with Jeremy Popolars, everything out there at FTN Media. And of course, check out FTNFantasy.com, check out the Stats Hub, check out the Discord, hit us up. Any questions? Getting a lot of questions about drafts, which I love. So hit me up on Twitter at AFIFER24. I love talking fantasy football, helping with questions. It's what I live for. It's what I'm here to do. Thanks for listening, as always. We'll be back on Friday with Meanie, talking some more fantasy football here on the podcast. Thanks for listening. Peace out.